Which side are you on? Which side are you on? If you go to Harlan County, there is no neutral there. You'll either be a Union man or a thug for J.H. Blair. Which side are you on? Which side are you on? They say they have...
I'm Leonard Lope. Welcome back to my show. 30 years ago, Barbara Koppel made Harlan County, USA, a documentary about the struggles of Brookside, Kentucky miners. And today, Criterion has released the Oscar winner on DVD. Joining me now to discuss it and just how much has changed over the past three decades is Jerry Johnson, a miner who was featured in the film. Welcome to my show. Mr. Johnson, you're speaking to us from Liberty, Kentucky. How far is that from the site of the mine?
Oh, it's about 159 miles.
Uh-huh. So you really, you moved away, but not that far.
Well, I moved, I went to Ohio and went to work, and I got blacklisted during the strike. So I had to go to other states to work, so that was part of the deal.
Did that happen to a lot of the miners?
Yeah, it happened to quite a few miners. A lot of miners never worked again in Harlan County.
Well, the film is about a 13-month strike against the Duke Power Company. What was that strike about? And did you think when you went out that it would take so long?
Well, no, I didn't think it'd take that long. I just didn't know what we was up against, really. But basically, the strike actually started, people started talking about striking when Norman Yarbrough, the company, Duke Power, wouldn't let us put water in our homes. You know, we were going to put it in ourselves.
You mean a woman in the film says that once the strike is won, everyone will have hot running water and bathtubs. They didn't want you to have that?
Well, they just didn't want us to. I guess they wanted to keep the women busy all day long carrying water. So, and it was the safety in the mines and... safety was really bad. I ain't saying it's on record with the government that it was really bad, but it was really bad.
Well, we hear about mine safety problems today.
I lost five brothers this week.
So is safety different today, or are we still talking about the same kinds of conditions?
I think you got the same kind of conditions. Like, I lost Five of my coal mining brothers in Harlan County, not far from where the film was, where it was filmed, died in a mine explosion this week.
Yeah, that was in
Holmesville
in West Virginia.
No, it was in Virginia. I mean, in Harlan County this week, five miners died.
So there have been four or five major mining accidents just in this country and Canada. Forget about the ones in China and elsewhere. This is a very dangerous job. How long a day would you work?
Well, I'd work 16 hours sometimes.
And how much were you earning an hour?
Well, when I was working for Duke, I started off working in the mines just $1.25 a ton, loading it by hand. And then when I worked for other, then I got a job working for $12 a day. And then I got a job. When I was working for Duke Power, I made $33 a day, and old men and boys made $1.89 an hour.
So that's very low. I always thought that the reason people worked in the mines is because it paid better than some of the other things that were available to them.
Well, it paid better in Harlan County. It paid better than sawmills, you know. And coal mining was a higher-paying job in Harlan, but there's very few other jobs that could be had because the politics of the county wouldn't let no other new business come into the county. They pretty much were in control.
Did you support the strike from the beginning?
Yeah, I did.
I understand that you were very influenced by a film called Salt of the Earth, Herbert Biberman, from 1954, about a strike against the Empire Zinc Mine in New Mexico.
I think we all were influenced by that. Barbara... and Ann and they brought that film, and Hart Perry, they brought that film, and they got equipment where we could watch it, and we watched it in a community center, and we got a bunch of ideals that we could be doing to win our strike.
So she actually got involved in the planning for the strike. She was also going into the mines, and some of her crew were women as well. Weren't there all sorts of superstitions about women in the mines in those days?
Yeah, there was. That was because Roosevelt's wife went into mines and had a tour, and it blew up, and then everybody became superstitious about women in the mines.
So you saw this film, and you said some of the ideals and some of the ideas of the film affected you all, and then did that become the basis of your reasoning behind the strike?
No, it didn't come the basis for our reasoning, but we used every strategy we could come up with, because we finally found out that this company's pretty big, and it just ain't going to be an easy thing. But if it hadn't been for outside influence of teaching us how to buy stock in power companies and lobby and go to stockholders meetings and things like that and get involved with the money side of it. I think you can yell and you can scream and you can do anything you want to, but you're not going to win anything unless you cut off the money.
And you came to Wall Street, a bunch of you came to picket on Wall Street as a way of influencing that money?
A way of getting people to dump Duke stock, and we were successful. We caused people to dump $60 million of stock in one day.
We have a clip. We don't have a clip of him comparing notes? Oh, okay. Well, but in the film, there's a wonderful moment where you compare notes with a New York City cop who had no idea of how rough your life was. How did New Yorkers react to you? Do you think that you got your message across?
I think we got our message across, and I think I was just so surprised that the policemen and the communication workers, they really treated us well. After we got through picketing, they took us to their homes and fed us, they were just like our brothers and sisters.
What was the United Mine Workers like? Was that a good union for you?
It was a good union, yeah. It was a good union after Tony Boyle got out of there.
Well, he was convicted of killing Joseph Yablonski, people will remember. Also, Yablonsky's wife and daughter. Had he run it like a company mine?
A company. I know we tried to organize under Tony Boyle once. We tried to organize Duke Power before, this time. And somebody turned all of our names in, that signed the papers, the cards. And we knew the union had to turn those in, pretty much. One of the union organizers had to. And we never thought about organizing a union again until we got there's a new organizer came to town. And that's what that we trusted and that wouldn't sell us out. So that's when we started trying to organize again.
How long after the strike began were replacement workers brought in?
Oh, I think it was a long time. It was probably 3 or 4 months.
So there was just nothing happening at the mine, and then they brought in the scabs?
They brought them in, and it took them a while to get them all out of prison. Because they used the parole board to get convicted felons out of prison to cross our picket lines.
And they weren't. None of them were locals who were just out of work?
People that you might know? Very few. I didn't know. I saw everyone that came in there, and those pretty much, they were locals, but they hadn't worked in the mines before.
I'm talking to Jerry Johnson, who is one of the miners featured in Harlan County, USA, which has just been released in DVD by Criterion Films. So there were certain restrictions about carrying weapons, weren't there?
Well, there was restrictions. The first thing they did was they got injunctions against us where we could only have 3 pickets. And then when they brought in the scabs. And we couldn't stop them with 3 people, so we violated those injunctions because we thought the injunctions were unjust. So we didn't go by the law. We just violated the injunctions.
But then the scabs started carrying guns.
Well, we did too.
Uh-huh. And then people started shooting at each other?
Yeah, people shot at each other.
Could you tell us about how Lawrence Jones died?
Well, I wasn't there. I was a few minutes away, but I went there when I found out. The superintendent was coming home from work, as I understand it, and Lawrence was sitting. They both lived on the same creek. And Lawrence was sitting over there with some of the other striking miners, and Bill Bruner, according to what they said, got out of the car and opened fire on him, killed Lawrence Jones immediately.
Did he ever go to trial for that?
No, he never went to trial. The grand jury didn't indict him. You know, they got a wheel they spin, and they can put anybody. I mean, you know, things can be fixed in Harlan County. Harlan County's sometimes, I don't know how it is now. I've been gone so long, but, you know, he walked away without being convicted of anything.
And Lawrence Jones left a 16-year-old wife and a 5-month-old baby.
Yeah, God bless their heart. Lawrence and me work together every day. Makes me sad.
So a contract was signed, and then after the strike was resolved, you went out on strike again. What happened?
No, Brookside didn't strike again. They agreed that since Brookside had been out on strike for 13 months, that they was going to let them continue to work because they got a contract about that time.
When you hear about explosions in mines now, do you suddenly have a personal reaction to them in a way that I might not?
Yes, I probably do. This recent explosion, the self-rescuers didn't work. One of them lasted 5 minutes. They had no clothesline. Like when you have an explosion, you're going to have so much dust you can't see. A clothesline don't cost much. They could have had a clothesline where these guys could have got a hold of it and felt their way so they could escape. And in Ohio, we had those. I went to work in Ohio, and we had clotheslines up there, and that was in 1974. So it's very little technology. But if you're working non-union and you're a rescuer, you know, every once in a while they'll go bad. Well, if you tell the boss you need a new rescuer, he may or may not give you one.
What about black lung disease? Is that still a problem?
Yeah, it's a problem. It's a big problem. That's just like this mine that just blew up in Harlan County had 285 violations this year. Or it was in the paper just recently. They had that many violations, and there's nothing being done. And these guys, what it is, they'll lose their job if they say anything. That's the way it works. And there's other people standing in line to get your job, you know. So if you don't have no protection, you're going to take chances because you've got your house almost paid for. You may be. About every coal miner is trying to work in a mine so he can make sure his kids can get an education so that they won't have to go in the mines. So,
but it sounds like not much has changed over the last 30 years.
I don't see any change. I really don't. I don't see much change. It really bothers me, all these guys getting killed, you know, because I feel really, really close to them. It don't matter if they're union or non-union, I really feel close to them. They're just like my brother. When one of them gets killed, it don't matter if it's in China or wherever it's at. I grieve over that.
What have you been doing since you left the mines?
Me? I've just been gardening and stuff like that and fixing up old houses and things, and just got back from New Orleans working with a church group on cleaning out houses so they can be people move back in them.
And that's for Habitat for Humanity?
No, community ministries. We got a thing here called community ministries, different denominations, and we get together and we go do things like that.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking to us about your experiences and the situation in the mines, which obviously haven't changed much since you appeared in Harlan County, USA, Barbara Koppel's Oscar-winning film. Just recently, Criterion has released it on DVD, so people get a chance to see Jerry Johnson when he was a lot younger. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you so much. And the film's getting a lot of publicity here since the mine explosion.
Well, maybe sometime down the line somebody will actually do something.
Well, I think we ought to nationalize coal or energy.
It's been done in other countries. I don't think it's going to happen in this country, Terry.
I don't either, but that's my opinion. But anyway, thank you so much.
Coal mining is the most dangerous work in our land today, with plenty of dirty slaving work and very little pay. Coal miner, won't you wake up and open your eyes and see what the dirty capitalist system is doing to you and me. They take your very life blood, they take our children's lives. Take fathers away from children and husbands away from wives. Oh, miner, won't you organize wherever you may be and make this a land of freedom for workers like you and me.